Welcome to the Holy Church of God's Global Outreach Center. We pray that this gospel message will reach its mark into the hearts of the hearers, glorify God, lift up Jesus, and save the lost, that it will comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable, and fully furnish us with a heart for God.
Turn with me to a familiar verse of Scripture. It's found in Psalm 146:5. I don't know if you've always known the chapter and verse for this, but you've heard the Scripture, I guarantee you. I want to talk to you this morning just a little while into this disc that will go wherever God sends it. Amen. Finding true happiness in a world of counterfeits. Everybody starts out in life thinking they're going to have the live happily ever after scenario in their life. No matter what touches their life, somehow or another, it's all going to end up with the handsome prince. People go into marriage with the intention of living happily ever after. And now we've come to the reality through statistics, personal experiences in our own lives and in other people's lives that every life doesn't end up with a happily ever after scenario. Most lives are going to hit disappointments and discouragements. Marriage in America is in trouble, and it's not just in trouble in the world, it's in trouble in the church as well. There was a time when we could put our own lives up family-wise and personally-wise with the world and show the difference and the sharp contrast between serving God and not serving God. But today, that climate is changing, and God really wants us to address that. He wants to bring us back to the place of true blessing. Everybody say, back to the place of true blessing. See, we can't talk about true happiness, the word authentic happiness, unless we talk about authentic blessings. And that has to go beyond the material and physical. Can you say amen? I mean, if you have a house on a hill with five bathrooms and six bedrooms and you don't have happiness in that couple, you don't have a home, according to the Scripture. All you have is the house. Amen. We need the foundation of love between the man and woman, a bond that can't be broken by the temptations that would pull us away from one another and the temptation to give up and seek happiness through another relationship and not hang in and believe God in the one that we're in. To anyone here that's been through divorce, I've been fortunate in that I haven't had to face that Pamela and I have always had a cohesion. I'm not saying that we agreed on everything at every moment in time, but we agreed to disagree and we wouldn't let the sun go down on wrath, and we've just celebrated 43 years of marriage this past year, and I can tell you, with Christ as her Lord and mine, it will keep working. The day Christ isn't the Lord of her life or my life, then Satan has a wedge. Either one of us can become a wedge. This is not something that's automatic. It takes the Lordship of Jesus to bring true blessings. Everybody say, the Lordship of Jesus. That isn't preached for fear of offense, today is the very core issue of true happiness. And that is Jesus being the Lord of your life and the total source of your life. Can you say amen? It all starts with Jesus. That's why the psalmist David said, happy is he that hath the Lord God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. That means somebody has to be right with God to have God on your side. That's why Paul said, if you're really right with God, thoroughly right with God, truly right with God, what shall we say to these things? Every threat, every accusation, every intent of the enemy for evil. What shall we say to these things? How shall we answer them? If God be for us, who can be against us? So the issue is never our enemies and what they can accomplish against us. The issue is, are we truly right with God so He can be truly for us? Can you say amen? Amen? If God be for you, say it again, if God be for you. So what is the issue here? Is the issue your enemy's intent to do you harm or God's commitment to do you good in spite of your enemy? The issue is God's commitment to do good. When Israel was right with God, it didn't matter who came up against them. Amen. It's amazing that happiness begins with being right with God. It doesn't begin with just pursuing happiness. It begins with pursuing holiness. More than 60 scientists have been given millions of dollars in funding to help humanity find happiness. That's what funding is released for. The depression in America is overwhelming the mightiest, richest, most intellectual, most opportunist nation in the world. You have an opportunity in America. That's why people come here from other countries. That's why there's 15 Patels in University Hospital, because they saw the opportunity here in America, and families come, and they brought their families here, and they worked hard in school, and they took hold of the opportunities that are here. And yet the people that have been bred here and born here sometimes even don't even have any sight of the opportunities that other lesser nations and poorer nations and lesser without opportunities, they don't seize them. It's amazing to live in a nation this blessed and find so many books on how to be happy. One out of three people in America have deep psychological problems. We used to say that tongue-in-cheek, so if two of your friends are okay, take warning. Amen? One out of three. Suicide is one of the greatest killers of young people in America. With all the opportunities and all of the blessings of living in the richest nation in the world, young people lose the desire to live another day because of depression. Something's wrong when that is taking place and that is happening. Amen? I don't like to preach funerals where people take their life. And everyone is fine. You know, no one that's getting ready to kill themselves tomorrow is going to tell you today that they're, in most cases, that they're about ready to do it. Most people are shocked when it happens because there's a veneer. It's a thin veneer that is presented publicly, but it isn't the personal reality. And we even suppress people being real in church by telling them, don't confess this and don't confess that, instead of pour your heart out to Him and confess your faults to one another and pray for one another that you what? That you may be healed. We're so afraid of being ostracized because of a lack of faith or not standing strong enough. We don't even lean hard enough on God and each other. And we need to lean hard on God and each other. Can you say amen? Can you say amen this morning? We need to lean hard on God. There's no place in Scripture that you grow in faith that you don't need to lean hard on God, because now you have faith and your faith is doing it. No, faith's object and focus is God. Hallelujah. Amen. Out of weakness, they were made strong. According to Hebrews 11, this great faith hall of fame. Out of weakness, they were made strong. Why? Because they, in their weakness, they looked to God. Paul knew that, and he said, when I'm weak and I look to God in my weakness, acknowledging it, then am I made strong. Can you say amen? We want to confess strength. We want to be like the world and be assertive and talk about our strengths instead of confess our weakness and our great need for Christ. And I need Him today. Hallelujah, more than I've ever needed. I sense a need for Jesus, and God has been good to me and blessed me and healed me and helped me. But I sense a need for Jesus today more desperately than even when I first came to Him. I know Him, and I know my frame. You need to know yourself. You need to know that apart from Him, you can do nothing. You're a hunk of mud. Can you say, man, without Him, you can do what? Nothing. It's good to know that, because that means apart from Him, He expects nothing from me and nothing from you, because He knows. That's written in the context of John 15. I am the vine and you are the branches. Can you say amen? Our total dependence is from Him. Our source is always Him. Our strength is from Him. Our life is in Him. Our joy is in Him. Our peace is in Him. In Him we live. In Him we move. And in Him we have our being. Nothing works except in Him and through Him. So when you're just building faith, amen, you're not as attached to Him. It's our union with Him. Faith is born out of that glorious union with Him and that dependence on Him. He said, I've spoken these things unto you that your my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. Amen. Although the U.S. standard of living has increased since World War II, there's no increase in the number of people who regard themselves as happy. Isn't that amazing? We got more stuff, but we're not happier. A U.S. News and World Report on the subject says, quote, once income provides basic needs, it doesn't correlate to happiness. Nor does intelligence, prestige, or sunny weather. People grow used to new climates, higher salaries, and better cars. And once people get used to it, then what they thought would make them happy. Some people got a house, and you thought, when I get in that house, I'll be happy. I meet people all the time with a bigger and better house, but they're no happier than they were. They're still dealing with something that is getting them down. Can you say amen? Now, this doesn't mean you have to live in a small house to be happy. It does mean, amen, that you have to find happiness somewhere beside houses. So when you get a bigger house and you're happy in Christ, you can enjoy that bigger house to the fullest extent. Can you say amen? But if you didn't get the bigger house and you're happy in Christ, you could still celebrate Him on Sunday. Amen? If you get a better car, hallelujah, it's okay. If you buy me one, I'll drive her, brother. I am not too proud to drive a Lexus. Amen? Which is they used to call a Lexus a poor man's Mercedes, but I think the Lexus is coming pretty much up to Mercedes class, or Mercedes is getting more economical now. Amen. Don't have to worry about anyone stealing. You know, for a while it was in vogue for young people to steal the emblems off Mercedes and hang them around their neck on a chain. That's not in vogue anymore. But even when it was, I didn't have to worry. Nobody stole Ford off of my car. It just stayed right. Even in Sulphur Springs, no one took it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Many years and millions of dollars studying and treating depression have succeeded in reducing most people's levels of sadness, but not raising their level of happiness. Did you know you can reduce your sadness and still not enter into happiness? It just gets you back to where you can function, to where you can cope. And we've got a standard saying when anyone is asked how they are, I'm fine. Amen. Amen. Everyone is fine. It's amazing, in a nation where everyone is fine, there are so many prescriptions for depression. Amen. We have a drug problem in America that goes far beyond. Amen. The illegal, illicit drugs on the street is the prescription drug. My bird got depressed. So depressed because he thought we had abandoned him. And that's something a Christian could never feel, is a sense of abandonment. But the bird, raised as a baby, we imprinted as his family. When we left him in a pet shop to go on vacation, the bird thought he was abandoned. He spent 5 days crying mama, literally saying mama over and over and over again, because his mama had abandoned him. And so he started plucking his feathers out. And the anxiety over being abandoned again, he kept plucking and plucking and plucking. Took him to a vet, and the vet prescribed Valium. We went to Walmart to get a prescription. Amen. And the lady, you know, that delivered it wasn't the one we turned it into, so she didn't know the circumstances. We did have to talk to the pharmacist, though. You know, I want Valium for my bird. He says, yeah, right, sure you do. Yeah, right, yeah, I want Valium for my doggy, too. He don't wag his tail like he ought to. Amen. We asked for Valium. And you know what it said on the, you know, at this particular Walmart, it's a great, great pharmacist, because you know what it said? What it said on the bottle? It said, you know, Valium, so many milligrams of Valium. And then it said, for whom, you know, and the name was Davy Bird. I like, that's a bird's name. It's Davy. Davy Bird. Davy Bird. An address. It said somewhere in the tree in Florida. I thought, now that's a neat pharmacist right there. Davy Bird somewhere. And then when the lady looked at it to hand it to us, she's reading this and thinking, oh, no. She went back and checked. And he said, oh, yeah, that's for their bird. The vet called it in. It's okay. Amen. So anyway, we brought home this little ball of Valium for our bird. I couldn't believe that here I have this bird out here that's been traumatized, feels like he's going to be abandoned, and enters into a deep, dark depression to where he just sits and plucks his feathers because of what we call anticipatory anxiety. You know what that is in people? Same thing as in the bird. It happened once. It may happen again. I'm unsure now. My world has been shaken. Listen, there are things that can shake your world. You can pray a prayer that doesn't get answered and wonder if God is going to answer the next one. Will he really come through if you need him? And you get into this state, and God wants to address that, and God wants to change that, and God wants to build into us a faith that cannot be shaken by an immediate circumstance. Weeping may last for a day. You cannot escape your emotional context of being a human being. Amen. But listen to me. Amen. Joy comes in in the morning. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. There's no night that can hold back the sunrise, and the Son of Righteousness will arise in your heart with healing in His wings, and He can do it at midnight in your life. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. The enemy of our soul capitalizes on the emptiness and dissatisfaction of seeking happiness in a fallen world because he offers counterfeits. I think I understand the plight of the alcoholic. He's been offered a counterfeit and saying, you know, you're not happy with your life. You're not happy with anything else in life. But here's something that will numb that. Here's something that will give you temporary pleasure. He goes after it and he complicates and exacerbates an existing problem. And then it's even worse. And the enemy just says, just drink more. The drug addict is looking for something. We declared a drug war some years ago, and Colombia was one of the Colombian drug lords were targeted, and we worked with the Colombian government. And you know what one of the drug lords said in a statement that was sent to the United States of America? He says, we are not your only problem delivering drugs to America. He said, if you're going to declare war on drugs, what about all the people in your nation who are taking the drugs, buying the drugs? He's saying, you're saying, you're the only problem. And what we're saying is, if there was no one to buy it, we wouldn't grow it and send it. But there's a consumer product that's being consumed in America. Why? Because people are empty. And if that was just the world and the church could sit back in a safety zone and say, it's not touching us, it would be one thing. If people just come to Christ, it would resolve that there are people with the Lord that are not finding happiness in life, and they're taking Satan's temptations, looking for it still. Because they're not, all they've found is church. All they've found is some celebrity preacher to lay hands on them and get a jolt occasionally. I know people that followed some of the most anointed ministers around this country, literally Christian groupies that would travel hundreds of miles to be under a particular person's ministry to get another dose or touch from their anointed hand, that are in mental wards right now, confused and messed up in mind and heart and spirit, because it doesn't come from the anointing flowing through a man or a woman. It comes from Jesus Christ. He is our peace. Oh, listen to me, church. He has to become your peace. He has to become your fulfillment. He has to become your pleasure in life. You have to find joy in the Lord to find strength for life. Amen? Happy is he. Everywhere you see blessed, everywhere without exception in the Old Testament, where you see the word blessed, blessed is he that stands not in the counsel of the ungodly. Blessed. Anywhere blessed appears, it means happy to be envied. It's interchangeable with happiness. Can you say, man? So if you think you're blessed because you got a bigger car and a better home and a raise on the job and you're not happy, you don't understand what blessing is. Because I can take you to a little humble shack in our view down in Jamaica and Haiti, and a happy person will come out and greet you, rejoicing in the Lord and thanking God for the little they have. I never heard people praise God like they praised God that had to walk and carry their shoes to the service because the only shoes they had, and they didn't know if they'd have any more. But when they came in, they praised God with such velocity and such tenacity. I mean, they just like the heavens opened to receive their praises. Because they had food and raiment in Christ and found contentment. And I come back trying to build up or pump up or pull up Christians in America with all of that stuff, but hadn't discovered what they had discovered in Christ. Maybe the lack of stuff and the no promise of stuff made them look at more exclusively to Jesus for what we're looking for more stuff for. Hello? By the way, stuff isn't bad. God doesn't have a problem with it. As long as we find our happiness in Him, everything else is put in proper perspective. Can you say, man? I'd like to think if I lived in a 6-bedroom house with 5 bathrooms... Amen. And I lost that house because of persecution, that I could be happy in a jail cell in Jesus and sing His praises at midnight. Because if you can't do that, there's something wrong. There's something missing. We're no different from the world. So the enemy of our soul says, if you're not happy in Christ, you're subject to temptation. Hello? How many has ever heard of anybody going fishing and not catching anything? Using the best of lures, the best of bait. Other times it worked gloriously, but this time they didn't catch anything. What do they all say? They all say the same thing. It wasn't that I didn't fish good. It wasn't that I didn't use bait that I know works. What was the problem? They ain't biting. Can you say, man? Honey, Satan is going to fish as long as this world stands. But when people are fulfilled in Christ and He offers something that would lead us to a sinful practice or a compromise to find what? What we already have in Jesus? I don't think so. Can you say, man, the greatest buffer against the tempter, hallelujah, is satisfaction in Christ. Somebody give Him glory. Hallelujah. Amen. The woman at the well was told, if you drink from this well, you're going to thirst again. I understand, he said, why you've been through five relationships. I understand why you've given up on marriage and are shacking up. I understand why you're living a life of sin, because you don't see anything in your future. Amen. You can't believe that life can be any different and any better. Amen. But if you knew who it was that said, give you to drink, you would ask of me, and I would give you what the church needs today to demonstrate to the world, living water. And if you drink of this water, you will never thirst again. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. In other words, you won't have to turn to sin to try to satisfy what only God can satisfy when He does it. Woo! Somebody think a man can do what only Christ can do. Lady, you're wrong. Mr. Right is Jesus. Never find the perfect man. You have to have a perfect faith in Christ and His perfect love for you. If you're looking for the perfect woman, you'll never marry. There are none. I'm telling you, there's a preacher who's well aware of that. His daughter asked the question in light of recently out in Texas, a pastor, in light of some of the shows on HBO, you know, bringing polygamy back into vogue and popularizing, you know, the fact that there are those that still practice polygamy in America. And they did shows off, spinoff of that, documentaries. And she said, Dad, she's 10 years old. She says, Dad, why can't people have more than one wife? And he said, I'll show you in Scripture. And he opened his Bible where it says, no man can serve two masters. It's just his. Two politicians were talking, and one of them said, three of them were talking, and two of them said to the one, you're not really being honest with your constituency. You're being influenced by powers from without. And he says, don't you bring my wife into this. Anyway, we'll move right along from that. There's no perfect marriage. Amen? Because you would have to be perfect, and that other person would have to be perfect. And none of us are. But there are marriages that last in spite of all of that because of the lordship of Jesus over that home and two people's commitment to stick it out and love one another unconditionally. Hallelujah. And I've got one of those. But did you know something? I have to guard it. And I don't guard it by trying to hold Pamela closer. I guard it by trying to stay closer to Christ and encourage her to stay close to Christ. Because if we do, we're going to survive all of the hits that we're going to take, and we're going to take them, but we're going to make it. And you'll make it too if you stay close to the Lord. Jesus came to give us life eternal, life in heaven above, and a happy and fulfilled life here below. John 10:10 said, the thief came not but to steal, kill, and destroy, but I am come that they may have life, and that more abundantly. Amen. And that more abundantly. The Beatitudes, that Sermon on the Mount, everywhere it said, blessed are the poor in spirit. See, the circumstance isn't what he's talking about. He's talking about a happiness not based on happenings. Blessed are the persecuted. Blessed. You know what blessed means? We're going to move to that in just a little bit. But it's a word, and I'll bring it to you right out of the Greek, but it's a word that means happiness. You can interchange happy for that word. Happy are the poor in spirit. Happy, amen, are the persecuted. Happy, happy, yeah. At midnight they prayed and sang praises to God. They were in stocks held over for destruction, but they were happy in Christ and sang His praises. And the greatest miracles do not come from unhappy people crying out to God for help, but people happy in the Lord, hallelujah, acknowledging that He's their source. In other words, you don't get prayers answered by whining. What did they do at midnight? Oh, God, did they give themselves a pity party and cry? Amen, as if God had turned a deaf ear to them and was being unfaithful. No, they sang His praises. I'll tell you, happiness will give you a foundation to operate your faith off of. Glory to God. Don't let the devil steal your joy. Don't let him have your song. Determine you're going to praise God anyhow. Psalm 50 is all about offering Him the sacrifice of praise. And it says, to him that orders his conversation aright, to him I will show the salvation of my God. Can you say amen? People get answers when they praise God anyhow. You say, but Brother Bunham, I'm not going to be a hypocrite and do something I don't feel. My Lord in heaven, don't let your feeling, amen, take over your faith. Hallelujah. If you believe that God is and He's a rewarder, in spite of how you feel, give Him the praise that's due Him. Hallelujah. And see what the Lord will do. There's a lot of circumstances in my life I'm not happy with, but I'm happy with the one that is with me in the circumstances. You didn't hear me. Hallelujah. Yeah, if I was in control, there's dials I would twist to change this and change that. It'd be more convenient and comfortable for me. But am I happy this morning? Yes, I am. And it's authentic. It's real. And it's not because I don't have problems and pressures and disappointments and discouragements. It's because I've got a God who said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And I'm real happy that He's with me in this circumstance. Hallelujah! I'm happy that He gives me grace sufficient. Woo! It sure isn't based on happening. One translation, the Amplified, said the thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that they might have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. I really think abundant life Christians are the ones who can touch others. I don't think anyone else, as great as your theology may be, until it overflows. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Life, amen, in Christ has to overflow into others to be effectual in terms of a witness. Amen? Satan offers a counterfeit. Christ offers the authentic. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Can you say amen? Where is happiness? Someone said, not in unbelief. Voltaire was an infidel of the most pronounced type. He wrote, I wish I had never been born. You won't find any happy atheist. Not in pleasure. Lord Byron lived a life of pleasure and debauchery, if anyone did. He wrote, the worm, the canker, and the grief are mine. No sensual pleasure can bring true happiness. None of it. Not in money. Jay Gould, the American millionaire, had plenty of that. When dying, he said, I suppose that I'm the most miserable man on earth. So if you're under the misconception that money is going to solve all of your problems and make you happy, you're wrong. They did a poll of lottery winners. They had family trouble. Some of them divorced. Some of them became alcoholic. It isn't a cure-all. If they're not happy already, winning the lotto is not going to solve your problem. Hello? How many know there's a spiritual part of you that a plasma TV won't satisfy, that a Lexus won't satisfy, that a Rolex can't satisfy? Man, in his worst state, in terms of the world's view, with Christ living large in him and him looking to Jesus and found happiness and fulfillment, is far richer than the Christian who still thinks there's something in this world they need to make them happy. And they go after it. There's a whole ministry based on stuff now, as if that's where it's at. And it's not entirely wrong. God wants to bless His people, and I believe He wants to bless you abundantly. Amen. But the abundant life has to go beyond possessions. Can you say amen? Because the same scripture that says, amen, that He will give you life more abundant says, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of things that he possesses. The same Bible says, love not the world nor the things that are in the world. Why? Don't set your love on these things. Why? Because it's passing. It's passing. It's passing. We should be rejoicing in those things that are eternal, that never pass away. Amen? Christine Onassis, daughter, heir apparent to one of the richest men in the world, committed suicide, and before she did, she said, happiness is not based on money, and the greatest proof of that is our family. Isn't that incredible? You don't have a good family relationship, it don't matter how rich you are and your daddy is. In today's news this morning, I turn warming up the computer, and I wasn't intending to read the news, but it comes up. It's on my homepage. And leading one of the news stories today that happened yesterday, the doctor, head of the cancer department, 43-year-old doctor, head of the cancer department of a hospital in Illinois, on vacation in South Beach, Miami, in a luxury hotel, celebrating 10 years of marriage. I mean, if you see these people in that hotel with this family, with his wife and an 8-year-old son, a 4-year-old son, and here's this Mr. Success. His wife, her screams, 15-story, and she runs to see. He's already cast one child off a 15-story balcony to fall to its death. He's in the process of casting the other child, and she heard the child screaming to its death. And as she runs into the room, he jumps over the balcony, and her two children are laying dead from a 15-story fall, and her husband. Said they had had some family problems, but she's scratching her head, said, I don't know why he took his life and the life of our children. Other doctors described him as quiet, intelligent, and friendly. That's the veneer. Quiet, intelligent, and friendly doesn't seem like someone with something so boiling inside. How we need this real, authentic relationship with Christ to demonstrate to a world who can't find it in success and can't find it in money and fame or anything else, amen, that there is a place in Jesus where you're not only blessed in the world to come, but you can find peace with God in this world. You can be happy in life. But you can't keep reaching for something. Life may not always give us perfection. We may not always see successes. The message of Jesus and the gospel is that life is not measured by earthly standards in the kingdom. Life is measured by our response to the gift of grace in Christ Jesus. Find that gift and you'll know happiness. Get a gratitude for being saved. And don't look over the fence at nobody after you get it. Can you say, man? And let the joy of the Lord Himself be your strength. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. When people hear that, they think of what He can do for them or what He can give them. They don't think of Him. And it's all about Him. The blessing of the Lord is that He becomes your Savior. He becomes your friend, your confidant, your God, your source, your help. In Him you live and move and have your being. If you don't find it in Him, you're going to look somewhere without, even as a Christian. And Jesus wants you to find it in Him, for godliness with contentment is... Everybody say true riches. True riches. Amen. If you have Christ, the Scripture says be content with the other stuff you got. If you got food, whether it's prime rib or hamburger, can you say amen? If you got raiment, clothing, whether it came from Saks of Fifth Avenue or whether it came from Walmart. If you don't show me the label, I'll never be able to tell. I've just never got that. You know, I don't have the ability. Amen. If you don't show me the label, I will not know. And if I don't show you the label, you will not know. Amen. Some people are judged by the clothes they wear. People want to be like the stars. Did you know that 25% of people in America, in a poll of I forget how many thousand by a respected pollster, said that Oprah Winfrey has had more spiritual influence in their life than a pastor, priest, or rabbi? That means that church is not becoming relevant in people's lives, and some telemedia mogul is, because she's the richest woman and she's a do-gooder, and there's nothing wrong with that. Amen? But when Oprah Winfrey, amen, is more spiritually influential than the spiritual leadership that's supposed to be showing the way to Christ in fulfillment, then we have a serious issue in America. Can you say amen? How many know Dr. Phil nor Oprah? has the answer unless it is Christ. How many realize that nothing they say outside of Jesus can truly bring lasting happiness and to the human soul? Can you say amen? Strip all of these people from all of their fame and their fortune and see how happy they are. Amen. In the aftermath of that stripping. But strip Paul of everything and hold him over for death, and he will tell you that he is absolutely content, hallelujah, to go home to be with the Lord. Woo! That's what we need. Can you say amen? How many know we need that? We need that. We can't all be Oprah. Now, I'm not convinced behind the scenes that she's got it all together, because there is a behind the scenes. My Bible tells me the wicked are like the troubled sea whose waters kick up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith God. No real peace. It's one thing to stand before a television camera. It's another thing to stand here behind a pulpit on Sunday under an anointing. There's another thing to go home and live it out. And by the way, I don't live it out in this pulpit while I'm preaching. I live it out at home while I'm practicing. Hallelujah. And I want this thing to work in my life. I want to present the gospel as a man dying of thirst that's found an oasis and has slackened my thirst and satisfied my soul, and tell somebody else how to find that same place. But the only thing I can do is like the woman did at the well and say, come and see a man. I don't have a method. I don't have a faith formula. I have a man that satisfies my soul. I call him by name, and his name is Jesus. In him we live, in him we move, and in him we have our being. You say, I'd be happy if all my children were saved. No, you were not. If you're not happy in Christ right now in his promise to help you, there's a hole in you that needs filling. My children are not all saved, but I'm happy. I'm happy in the knowledge that I've committed them to Christ, and Christ is good, and the Lord is going to see to the things that I have no control over. I'm not waiting for the answer to shout his name and shout his victory. I expect to walk down Glory Avenue with every one of my saved children. And I don't know if it's going to take a deathbed, and the last gasp is, Jesus saved me, but he did it on the cross. Amen. To the thief on the cross, he can do it for one of mine. Hallelujah. I will not concede victory to the devil because I haven't seen it yet with my eyes. For in the eye of faith I have seen it, and I claim it. Somebody give him praise this morning. Woo! Hallelujah! Happiness cannot be based on happenings. A God so committed to our good that even when bad things touch our lives, he's able to bring good out of it according to Scripture. I like this humorous story. Kind of touches where we live. A little bird was flying south for winter. It got so cold, it froze up and fell to the ground in a large field. While it was lying there, freezing to death, couldn't even move now from fatigue and the cold, a cow came by and dropped some manure on it. As it lay there in the pile of manure, it began to realize how warm it was. The manure was actually thawing him out. He lay there all warm and happy and began to sing for joy. A starving cat caught in the same storm heard the little bird singing, came to investigate. Following the sound, the cat discovered the bird under the pile of manure and promptly dug him out and then ate him. The morals of the story is this: not everyone who drops manure on you is your enemy. And not everyone who digs you out is your friend. And when you're in manure, keep your mouth shut. Boy, when we're in trouble, one of the last things, it's okay to sing praises to God. Believe me, no cat's going to eat you. You sing praises to God. Can you say amen? But boy, when we complain to others, there is a lion, not a cat, that you invite. Satan goeth about as a roaring lion. One of his great tools to make you vulnerable to him is discouragement. If I call Mike and just pour it out, and at some point, it's okay to bear one another's burdens and to share one another's burdens, but at some point in the pouring it out, Mike and I have to stop the whole thing. And the worst thing he can do is say, I don't know how you take it. I don't know how you can preach next Sunday under those conditions. I don't know why you keep trusting God. At some point, he and I, both of us, have to come into agreement. Yes, the trouble is here. Yes, it's excruciating. Yes, it's discouraging, but there is a God in Israel. Hallelujah, and we call upon His mighty name. Hallelujah. We will praise Him. Hallelujah, we will praise Him. Somebody say, we will praise Him. I'm not happy with the circumstance, but I'm so happy to have a God that says, call upon me in the day of trouble. Can you say, man, I'm glad I got a God like that, and through Christ, a relationship with Him. James chapter 1 is to the scattered, persecuted Christians, to those scattered abroad. It starts out by saying, James, the servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. Scattered abroad means not that they're all out on trips. Amen. They're all off on going to some revival. No, they're scattered because they have to leave their homes. They're being persecuted. They're being chased like a deer by the enemies of the gospel, fearful for their life and limb. And he says, my brethren, count it all joy. Everybody say, reevaluate everything with the kingdom values. Say it with me, with kingdom values. Kingdom values are different than this world's value system. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, when you're going through it, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. It sounds like someone's fulfilled and content in life. Can you say amen? Wanting nothing means that the Lord is your shepherd, and even though you're going through something, the shepherd is leading you through it, so you still don't want. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. He prepareth a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. He doesn't extract me from them. He keeps me in the midst of them. One translation says, let it be an opportunity for joy. I love this pastor's attitude toward that scripture. He's a pastor in Florida. Didn't call his name, but he's in our state. He hosted Count It All Joy parties every now and then. Anybody here ever hosted a Count It All Joy party? I mean, the last thing you want to do is party when you're going through it, you know? But this guy said, the Bible says count it joy, so what would I do if I was filled with joy on some joyous occasion? I'd throw a party. So evidently this pastor really went through it a lot, so he had count it all joy parties every now and then. He also believed the passage in James 1:2, when he would face a difficult situation, he would call his friends over to his house and he'd say, I want you to come over to my house for a party. And they'd say, oh, is it a birthday? And he would say, no. And then they would say, well, you got a promotion. Because evidently he was a working pastor like me. And they'd continue. No, he'd say, that's not it. What is the situation? They would finally ask. Well, he'd say, I'm going through this incredibly difficult crisis right now. And I'm having a count it all joy party. We're going to celebrate the difficulty because I know that this difficulty is going to bring something of special value to my life. I don't know what it is yet, but I want you to come and count it all joy with me. See, you can talk faith, sing about faith until you have a count it all joy party. You ain't showing no faith. Can you say amen? Come on, church. What do we usually do? We lock the door, we pull the blinds, we take the phone off the hook, we don't go to church because we ain't going to be no hypocrite and go down there and praise God when we don't feel like it. And there's a roaring lion saying, there's my target. There's no shield of faith here. The confidence in God has come down. The hope for the future is gone. The depression has set in. The discouragement is there. I got easy pickings. Easy pickings. But what do you do with a partying preacher in the middle of all that? Same thing happened to those two preachers, Paul and Silas. Amen. When Paul and Silas both were thrown in jail, they did not worry who would go their bail, but on the prayer bells they began to ring, off fell the stocks, and they began to sing. No. 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 It wasn't off fell the stocks, and they began to sing. The song has got it wrong. They begin to sing, and then off fell the stocks. Anybody can sing when the stocks fall off. No, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, and then God moved. No, and right after prayer, they sealed it, and they sang praises to God. Can you say amen? And while they were yet singing, the Bible said a shaking come. And God shook the prison and the stocks fell off of their own accord. And the doors flew open and they walked out. Woo! When did it happen? While they were praying or while they were praising? I will subdue this to my will. I will make everything work together for good. Celebrate right now that good is going to come out of this seeming so terrifying and terrible situation. Woo! Somebody give Him praise. I mean, it's time we put some of this stuff into practice. We're in a drought here in Central Florida. Some people got rain. We haven't in Plant City. Some churches are starting to pray for rain. Out in the Midwest, when droughts meant people lived or died or their whole crop would be gone, their animals would die, they had a prayer meeting for rain, and they got together to pray for rain, and one man came to the prayer meeting and brought an umbrella. I like people who pray for rain and bring umbrellas. Can you say amen? Why? Because he really believes God may do something about what they're asking Him to do. Don't wait till it rains. Elijah didn't wait till it rained. After he prayed, and he knew it was in the will of God. He didn't wait. Amen. He sent his servant five times. He just saw nothing. He sent him again. What did he do? He comes back and he said, I see a cloud like a man's hand. I see a little old cloud up there. He said, you better hook up the chariot. You better run and tell him to get to the high ground. Got so excited about what God was going to do before, amen, anything but just a little something out there. And by the way, did you know when he said, I feel the abundance of rain, is not when the man said, I see the cloud. It was before he even prayed. He said, I feel the abundance of rain. It ain't rained in 3 years and no sign of it. And the weatherman says it ain't going to, but I feel a witness inside of me that rain is coming. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. I feel it down in here, in the innermost part of my being. Amen. I feel this thing. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Faith will make you feel things on the inside you can't even see on the outside. Young man was at the end of his rope. Seeing no way out, he dropped to his knees in prayer and said, Lord, I can't go on. I have too many heavy crosses to bear. My cross is too heavy to bear. See, the devil wants you to look at yourself and not look to Christ or look out to others. Just see yourself and your need. Just go deeper into the hole. The Lord replied, my son, if you can't bear its weight, just place your cross inside this room, then open that other door and pick out any cross you want. The young man was filled with relief. Thank you, Lord, he sighed. He did what he was told. Upon entering the other door, he saw many crosses, some so large the tops weren't even visible. Then he spotted a tiny cross leaning against the far wall behind him. I'd like that one, Lord, he whispered. And the Lord replied, my son, that's the cross you just brought in. See, your problem is so big until you put it up against other people's problems and pressures. And suddenly yours isn't near as big as the devil magnified it to you. Can you say amen? Somebody talked about you at work, but no one took you out and whipped you within an inch of your life for your faith. Get over it and give God glory. Somebody hurt you at church, but no one kissed you and turned you over to people that took you to a cross and nailed you to it. Get over it. Go to church anyway and praise God and worship Him. Can you say, man, get your eyes off of you and get them on Jesus? We got to close. God has been so good to me down through the years. You can look for happiness until you actually go around in circles. Church circles, worldly circles. You just keep. I like this story. It's a story of an old dog. See, if you get right with God, happiness will follow you. These blessings will come on you. They'll overtake you. You'll just get up and say, Lord, my trust is in you, and you'll find yourself happy tomorrow. Not because the happenings have changed necessarily, but because you've decided to really trust God with it and cast your burden on Him. Can you say amen? And believe that He's going to take all this and use it for good. You realize with a sour face, and you're telling people what Christ can do for them out there with trouble in their life, and you can't find it in your life, they're not listening until something changes in our demeanor. Can you say amen? Because they're saying, you go to church, you talk in tongues, you dance and shout for an hour and a half, but when it's over, you're just like us. You cope no better. Hello? They're not going to listen until the church demonstrates something to them that God can really pull this off in this fallen world. That you can really give your cares to Him. Why do you think the man's drinking? You think he's having fun? An alcoholic don't have fun. He's addicted. That guy's shooting up with cocaine or snorting it. He's not having fun. He's addicted. We need to do more than give them a scripture, darling, or a tract. We need to show them a better way by showing them a better life. The thief will kill you, but Jesus said, I'll bless you. I'll give you life eternal and life here more abundantly. Can you say, man, life itself, not the stuff, but the life becomes blessed. Anybody relating at all to this? I like the story of the old dog who meets a young dog. The old dog sees the young dog running around chasing his tail and asks, what are you doing? Young dog says, well, I've been contemplating the nature of happiness. And I've determined that I've found a philosophy for true happiness. True happiness is found in my tail. For the rest of my life, therefore, I'm going to try to chase it in order that when I catch it, I will have found true happiness. The old dog looks at him and says, well, I too, young puppy, have tried to find happiness. I too have gone on a quest to find real joy. Like you, I've come to the conclusion, after much examination, that there is indeed true happiness in my tail. I have found, however, that when I run around chasing it, my tail is always running away from me. But when I simply go ahead in my life, it follows me wherever I go. Let me submit to you that if you will pursue holiness instead of happiness, so that you can have a real relationship with God that satisfies your soul, and a relationship with God that you can trust Him with your cares and burdens, happiness will follow. Can you say amen? Happy is the man that has what? The Lord God of Jacob for his help, for he trusts in Him. He makes Him his source. I got a simple formula. This is from Robert Venable, quote, get right with God. I've been preaching that until they don't even preach that anymore for fear of offending people. Repentance brings reconciliation. Reconciliation opens the doors for fellowship. Fellowship satisfies the deepest longings of a man's soul or woman's. Get right with God. Can you say amen? Get right with God. Repentance, the most suppressed message in the American church, is the only message that'll make anybody truly happy, is to get that reconciliation process taken care of. It's good to get up in the morning and know that there's nothing wrong between me and God. I got to quote this real quick. Jill Briscoe, she recounts the true story. I remember talking to a girl here in this church. She said 2 or 3 years ago, she said, Jill, I've lost my joy, I've lost my peace, and I want it back. Where did you lose it, I asked. That has nothing to do with this, she replied. Help me to get it back. But where did you lose it, Jill persisted. I don't want to talk about that. But Jill persisted even more. But eventually she did talk about it. She lost it, she said, when she moved in with her boyfriend and began to live with him in a relationship out of wedlock. And Jill says, you can't get it back until you get that issue settled. Hello? Sin is a real issue. And it shouldn't be a negative in the church. Dealing with sin is the most powerful, positive thing that we can do. And we can deal with it so effectively in the blood of Jesus and true repentance. Can you say amen? Everybody say, get right with God. Everybody say, there's nothing wrong with getting right with God. Number two, cultivate a personal relationship with Him. Don't just go to church and read your Bible and pray. Get to know Jesus and walk with Him and talk with Him like your closest friend. Can you say amen? Get personal with God. The Holy Spirit's here to manifest Him. Walk with Him. Amen. Joy in God through Jesus Christ. That means enjoy the Lord. Can you say, man, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Renewed fellowship allows for that relationship. Get to know Him personally. Christ is not just a theological figure that I accurately proclaim on Sunday. He's my best friend. He's the lover of my soul. He satisfies me. The deepest longings of my life. Hallelujah. You thought Pamela did all that, didn't you? Pamela couldn't do all that. The reason I can love her like I love her is because I don't ask that much of her. Pamela's not my everything. Christ is. Somebody say glory. Christ is supposed to be. I love my wife. My wife is to me, I mean, I'd rather lose my right arm than my wife, but I'm telling you, I'd rather lose everything than Jesus. Can't nobody. Woo! You got it. Can't nobody. That's not just some simple song. That is a profound truth. Cultivate a personal relationship with Him. Number three, trust in Him exclusively with your life and your future. Just give it to Him. Just give it to Him. Give it to Him. And if He doesn't pull you out of something because He wants to take you through it, receive the grace that is sufficient. And trust Him through it and praise Him anyway. Celebrate Him anyway. And face each day with faith and hope. The only way I can be happy is not just look at the newspaper, but look at the promises of God when I get up in the morning. And say, Lord, I don't know about bird flu. I don't know if it's going to become pandemic, and I don't know how many people are going to die, and I don't know who's going to live and who's going to die. You know all of that. But what I do know is that You are my refuge and my strength, my shield, my buckler. Halabakosala, my life is hid in Christ in God. If I live, I live unto the Lord. If I die, I die unto the Lord. And whether I live or die, I'm the Lord's. Now I can crawl behind the wheel of my car, and I can go and do what I need to do, and I can sing praises along the way. Somebody give Him praise. Hallelujah. I don't know what's going to take me out of this world. I do not know what is going to take. If Christ tarries, I don't know when He's going to call me home or what's going to be the device. I don't know. I don't know if lightning is going to strike me when I get out of the car in a thunderstorm, if it ever rains again. Amen. To come into church. Wouldn't it be, why did God let that happen? Well, we're going home somehow. Until if Jesus doesn't come soon, you're going home somehow. Something's going to happen to you. I don't know what it is. Something's going to release you from this bone bag. Isn't it the truth? I don't know if you're going to have a massive coronary. I don't know if a blood clot's going to run up your leg to your heart and shut you down. I don't know what's going to short circuit your life. Amen. This physical life, this little part of it, little phase of it. I know that you're not going to die. Amen. Ain't nobody going to put you in no grave. Can you say amen? I know where you're going to be if you're a Christian. You may haven't figured it out, but I biblically know, amen, what to expect when it happens to me. Do you know what's going to happen to you absent from the body is what? Is it all over? Is it done? Has the grim reeker locked you away in dark oblivion? Can you say, man? No, he hasn't. No, you're not there. Hallelujah. Praise God. I used to want balloons to be released at my funeral. I gave instructions to my wife, I want 7 white balloons. When I die, I want people looking up. I don't want them looking down. The last thing they do at the grave is release those balloons and everybody look up because I ain't down there. I'm there with him. Can you say, man, absent from, present with? But I've conducted a funeral where they released doves that fly all around. White dove was released. Right at the end, the white dove flew into the heavens and then came back. I thought, dear Lord in heaven, I want doves. I preached a funeral not too long ago, amen, and I said, when I die, you will not want to miss my funeral. It's going to be something you will enjoy. If I have my way, it'll be an enjoyable experience because I'm going to be with the Lord, and I want something of that faith to be seen. Can you say, man? We may have balloons and doves. I could hardly wait to see it from above. Just looking over the ramparts of heaven, say, that's it. That's what I've lived for. That's my testimony. That is what I've lived for my whole life, is to say that death can't conquer this life that Christ has given me. Woo! Woo! Somebody give him praise in this room. Hallelujah. Face each day with faith and hope. You've got a God that says, no matter what you face, I'm able to subdue it to my will and eternal purpose, and I'm able to work it together for good if you just keep loving me and trusting me. You're called according to a higher purpose than just having this world accommodate you. You're called to show this world the kingdom and to follow Christ. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? That's your calling. You that have suffered, you that are going through pain, amen, listen to me. If you will begin to find happiness in your state in life and say, this cross isn't too big for me. If it brings honor to Him, if I praise Him through it and it brings glory to Him and someone's going to take courage because they saw me come through this and still praise my God, then I have a ministry in this thing that Satan wanted to hurt me with.